Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
This piece was brought to you by Roberta's, robertaspizza.com.
Hey, Food Radio listeners. I'm HRN's Executive Director, Katie, and I'm really excited to share that we're launching a brand new show. Meat and Three is HRN's weekly food news roundup. Tune in for a deep dive and three tasty shorts every Friday evening. It's 15 minutes, so you can listen while you wait for your pizza. This week, the fight for universal free lunch in New York City public schools isn't over yet.
I'm overburdened. I'm overworked. I don't get staff when people are out.
Plus, Dana Cowan, former editor of Food & Wine magazine and host of HRN's Speaking Broadly, catches up with Valerie Lomas, the winner of the Great American Baking Show's Derailed Season 3. Discover how a Danish brewery is motivating people to get fit. And hear Allison Roman speak to the highs and lows of her cookie recipe going viral.
Every time I see anyone in a social setting, that's generally the first thing they ask me is, how are the cookies?
Be better informed and wildly inspired by the stories and people you hear on Meat and Three. Find us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.
Crazy days. Whoa, can you dig it? That's right. I am the traveling troubadour of tomorrow. Here today, Pizza Rumba, Mike Edison and Pizza Rumba back on Arts.
I'm so happy to be back.
And seizures.
I'm glad. This is amazing. I'm. You know what? I'm cherishing every show now.
It's true.
I'm cherishing everyone.
I understand. This is it. This is show number 240. Counting down to 250. 250 is going to be our last and final show's Arts and Seizures, which brings us all the way to August. So stay tuned. There will be a fiesta of some sort. What's that you're crunching on?
You know, my visit to the salad bar.
It sounds like Bugs Bunny. But
this is delicious. Man, Roberta's, man. What a place. I'm telling you, I feel so happy to be here. I feel like I'm home at our little clubhouse here. What an audience today.
I liked that Bloody Mary, though. Seems to have combined the best of cocktail culture with Beefsteak Charlie's all-you-can-eat salad bar.
That's exactly right, man. They do it right here. What a show we've got. What, I can't believe it.
Well, returning to the show once more is our favorite author, Mark Adams, who last time was here was talking about his book about Atlantis.
Yeah, we debunked that one.
We don't have to play that song again.
We debunked that.
It is available on the HRN website. If you really want to hear us go down the psychedelic rabbit hole trying to do a Donovan cover. But Mark's new book is Tip of the Iceberg, My 3,000-Mile Journey Around Wild Alaska, The Great American Frontier. It is the irrepressible Mark Adams. Good to see you.
The world's greatest to be back. Travel. I think hands down we can say it now on the air. World's greatest travel writer. Okay.
There it is.
But yeah, John Lloyd Stevens and these old old hat.
And I guess my first question is, after writing about Atlantis, why would you choose to write about something mythical and illusory such as Alaska?
It was kind of an accident. I was in Pioneer Square, a seedy part of Seattle. They had a totem pole there. They had a little ranger guy in a smoky bear hat. And he's like, hey, have you ever heard about the Harriman Expedition of 1899? I was like, what the hell is that? And he's like, yeah, rich dude, E.H. Harriman, John Muir, founders of conservation. Burroughs, they all went on a big ship up to Alaska And they realized that the whole place was falling apart, and they came back and convinced Teddy Roosevelt to start the national park system.
Yeah, but this stuff is real. We're in Atlantis. You know, the question is still at, you know, at the jury stage, so you're much more free to make shit up.
But I did. The problem with the Atlantis book is I didn't make anything up. And yet I got a call from every major cable network saying, hey, you want to come on, you know, Ancient Aliens and, you know, Bigfoot Island and all that crap they have.
I know.
You know, they still call me. They call me about once a month.
And I'll ask you, what do you get? You know Sarah Palin doesn't live here anymore, right?
That's what everybody up there says. The first thing they say is, you know Sarah Palin lives in Arizona, right?
Did you know that, Pete?
No, I didn't know that. See, I didn't get to that part of the book. So, no. Okay, I'm almost done with the book,
that
Mark.
Part of American history.
No spoiler alerts.
No spoilers, please.
Please, no spoilers yet. I got to say, I did. I think this is... Okay, for me, I enjoy this book the most, and I love all your books. I've enjoyed this one the most. You got that the two-track thing running, two expeditions, Harriman's, yourself. It works so wonderfully. And I also have to say... as a writer, you have a certain, I don't know, understanding or warmth or human, I don't know what it is, but unexpected from a wise-ass Easterner like yourself. You know, I'm serious.
Wise-ass Midwesterner.
By a Flesh Tones fan.
For them, it's East.
True.
For them, it's East.
Although this past week was my one half of my life in Chicago, one half of my life in New York City.
So now you're an Easterner.
So I guess the clock is ticking on the Easterner stuff.
I did watch the movie North to Alaska just to kind of check against your book.
Yeah.
And I have to say, you give short shift to a certain Italian-American teen idol from South Philly, Fabian.
Really?
Right? And as well, short shift to my illustrious and distant ancestor, Dionysus Zaremba.
Of Zaremba Island fame.
Of Zaremba and founder of the city of...
Zaremba Island?
There's Zaremba Island. Well, I was this close to Zaremba Island.
They changed it. They Spanishified him to Don Zarembo for some
Zarembo
reason.
Island is like this. It's like half the size of Long Island,
yeah.
But it has 11 people on it.
11 people. He founded the city of Evangel. So
really,
yes,
I had no idea.
Yes, he built Fort Saint Dionysus, the redoubt.
I had no idea that we were this close, like one degree of separation.
To like exploration royalty.
This is it.
Well, anyway.
Well, you know, as Alaska was Seward's folly, so was Zaremba, the Heritage Radio Network folly. But I said to them, no, you'll see, there's value here.
Yes, there is some value.
there's gold in those darn hills.
Absolutely. And
so do you find any gold?
Look, like you said, you haven't finished the book yet. I don't want to spoil it.
Don't spoil it.
but now he's sitting on bags like Scrooge McDuck.
You did see what I pulled up in here, I hope. So that should give you a hint.
Alaska is a place that is so famous, obviously, for its wilderness and its natural resources. It must be gorgeous. And then there's the methamphetamine thing.
Yeah. You get to, they call them the end of the roaders. Up in Alaska. The people who can't make it in the U.S. end up in Alaska. The people who can't make it in the rest of Alaska end up in these little teeny tiny towns. End of the roaders.
This is where Bristol Palin lives, presumably.
You know, I got to Wasilla, ancestral home of the Palins.
That's right, meth capital of the Great Northwest.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
So how was the meth?
It was excellent. It was world class.
The obvious
Absolutely
question.
Absolutely world class.
Okay.
And how are the Palin kids? So they really don't like her up there. I mean,
the Palins are kind of a joke in Alaska.
Well, they made
They're
Alaska
an embarrassment.
This beautiful, beautiful, wonderful state that a lot of people living in the contiguous 48 don't know a lot about. And all we know
Read the book.
Is you know that you can't put lipstick on a pig, and that's it.
I'm getting my copy of this book.
Now, the problem with Wasilla and places like Wasilla is that there's absolutely no zoning laws in Alaska. So you'll have like a beautiful 100-year-old Catholic church and next to it a dump filled with rusty refrigerators and old pickup trucks.
And then the meth lab, the pawn shop filled with guns, and the closed abortion clinic.
And then next to that a place to refine your gold.
There's so much of it in those darn hills. That's why the economy has been booming up there.
Wow.
So you sat down and watched Fabian...
Yes,
I did. North to Alaska.
He gets slugged.
Everybody gets slugged in that movie. It's a rite of passage.
Right, everyone gets slugged.
Alaska should be like the fist
fight. Bawdy, it's bawdy. It's bawdy. It's rowdy.
And
you stuff all that into those pages. The bawdiness. The rowdy, whatever. It's bursting with virility. male virility and
a virile
and women are women. Women are women up there.
Oh, absolutely, especially the Palins.
There's a lot of women up there. There's women. There's men.
I'm feeling bears. A song. I'm feeling a song.
Let's go to Alaska.
I feel like there's a song.
Are we
going
to go to Alaska?
I feel like there's a song coming on.
We better do it then. Big Sam left Seattle in the year of 92 with George Pratt, his partner, and a little brother, Billy, too. They crossed the Yukon River and found the Bonanza Gold way down the mountain, just a little southeast of Nome. Ooh, Sam crossed the mountain in the valleys deep below. He talked to his team of Huskies as he motioned through the snow. With the northern lights running wild in the land of the midnight sun. Yes, Sam McCord was a mighty man in the year of 91. Where the river is winding, big nuggets they are finding. North to Alaska, go north, the rush is on. Way up north to Alaska, up north to Alaska. North to Alaska, go north, the rush is on. North to Alaska, north, the rush is on. George turned to Sam with his gold in his hands. He said, Sam, you're looking at a lonely, lonely man. I'd trade all the gold that's buried in this land for one small band of gold to place on sweet little Jenny's hand. Cause a man needs a woman to love him all the time. Remember, Sam, a true love, it's hard to find. I'm gonna build my Jenny a little honeymoon home below that old mountain, just a little southwest of Nome, where the river is winding. Big nuggets they're finding. North to Alaska, go north, the rush is on. Way up north to Alaska, up north to Alaska. North to Alaska, go north, the rush is on. Say, come north to Alaska, go north to Alaska, north to Alaska, go north, the rush is on. Singing north to Alaska, go north, the rush is on. Keep on north to Alaska, go north, the rush is on. I'm going north to Alaska. Don't try to stop me, baby. To Alaska, I gotta go. To Alaska, go north, the rush is on. I've got to go north to Alaska, go north. To Alaska, we're heading north.
To Alaska, go north. The rush is on.
Oh, that's beautiful, baby.
All right.
He's been there.
My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
No, crazy. Heritage. All right, we're back on Earth, guys. Right. Back on Arts and Caesars. Surrounded by Edison and the great Mark Adams and the ghost of Johnny Horton. Probably know he's still alive.
Oh, no,
how
Johnny.
How would you even know?
I think it's quite proven that Johnny died in a tragic accident in 1988.
At the end of the Civil War, when people just got fed up with those songs he was singing.
Well, I have to say, I was pretty into them as a little kid, but I think North to Alaska is his best.
What were his other hits?
Oh, Sink the Bismarck. We got to sink the Bismarck to the bottom of the sea. That's pro-British. Now, on the other side of the coin, the very anti-British Battle of New Orleans, they lose.
True.
They do lose. They lose bad, you know?
He's very topical. He's just not up to date.
He wasn't up to date then. Yeah. But North to Alaska, come on, it's a catchy tune. And the movie's
catchy.
Great.
It is.
The movie's great.
Can you imagine Johnny Horton with his own theater out in Vegas now?
You know what? If only it could have been. It might have been the best one.
Like a great, like Johnny Horton on ice. I see, like, Civil War reenactments on ice.
I have to say, my biggest moment in Vegas was being invited on stage for Legends on Stage. And they let me wear the Elvis suit, and I got to sing Rock and Roll Heaven. With on stage with like Janis Joplin.
With a fake Janis Joplin.
Fake, come on. come on, fake.
Air shots.
But the best part is when the other Elvis is doing the American Trilogy, and then he freezes in a cone, a light cone of immortality.
Oh, I love the light cone of immortality.
Who comes out on stage? Come on, one guess. North to Alaska. One guest.
Johnny Horton.
No. John. John Wayne. Comes out on stage in his True Grit persona.
Because Johnny Horton wouldn't have had the same impact.
The people wouldn't know.
They would have burned that place down.
John Wayne comes out.
Johnny Horton hears a who. It's
with Elvis frozen in a cone of light, like immortality cone of light.
Oh, man. If Wayne Newton had come out,
That's what I was expecting. Maybe instead of Johnny Horton hears a who, Johnny Horton does the who. Could be the next. Right. My generation.
The rush is on.
Yeah.
He did die before he got old.
Okay, listen. It's been a busy week. We did the.
It's been a busy week, and I know you were just at the royal wedding on ice.
I was at the royal wedding where I picked
this actually
up.
On ice.
Actually,
imported from Vasilla.
I went to a tasting for Trentino DOC sparkling wine. Don't call it Prosecco. Anyway, they respectfully.
No, it's Trentino sparkling wine.
They respectfully decline to be on the show. But I did my neighbors, Mitch and Blair from up the block, just got back from China and brought back this handy hip flask of our favorite beverage, Baijiu.
Last time we drank Baijiu on this show.
On stage. Red Star Baijiu. And you know what? They try to gust this up these days. And I saw, what's his name, Bourdain on TV trying to make it like he's on tasting with these fancy cups.
Right.
This is in the right bottle, and this is for appropriate, like drinking in the subway in China or
the bus depot. That hasn't actually melted the bottle.
It's a good sign. It's a plastic cap. Doesn't really.
It's good. It's got the nice kind of star on it. I'm afraid I'm gonna like two sips of this shit, and I'm gonna be like firebombing Bank of America.
We're talking about Alaska. Are you a man or what, Mike?
It's like artistic slip of it.
Oh, a direct challenge.
Yeah, Mark. Swig of Baijiu. There you go. There you go. Oh, it's good.
Oh, my God.
Give me some of this engine cleaner.
There you go.
Oh, my God.
It's Red Star Baijiu, folks.
Red Star Baijiu.
Look for it in your local Lawson's.
Look at the...
It is very
the local Lawson's, which is their equivalent of a 7-Eleven via Hong Kong.
Wow.
Nice, huh? Smooth.
Yeah, well...
You're drinking like...
Smooth for kerosene.
In China, you know, actually,
No
matter what anyone, if you've been, right, so you know that you can do whatever you want in China.
Oh, really?
Absolutely.
Because that's not what I've heard.
Oh, no, you can't. As my friends in Round Eye, the group, said, you can do whatever you want until you can't do it anymore. And then you really can't do it.
Well, that's the stuff. You know, I often talk about white lightning and moonshine. Every culture's got their own version of moonshine.
Well, that's good.
And you like that, huh?
That's and in Alaska, they came up with the word hooch.
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 Hoochinoo from the Tlingit Indians. They were brewing their own stuff, and they would get into fights after drinking the Hoochinoo and shoot each other in the face.
Really? Yeah. That Hoochinoo. We're going to bring some of that down. Leave the guns at the door.
Did you bring any Hoochinoo down?
Down the hatch.
I like the hooch.
How was that? You were talking about drinking some Yukon Jack up there or something.
They drink everything in Alaska. You talk about a hard drinking town, Nome. It's all bars. It's like bars, it's City Hall, and the end of the Iditarod.
Just like
that's
the movie.
All they have up there.
Just like the movie, North to Alaska. It's in Nome, right?
Is it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's why it's actually.
Exactly. Culver City.
It's actually. Little White Mountain, just a little southwest of Nome. But you see, I was reading as White Castle, just a little south of Nome.
The thing is, if you're a little southwest of Nome, I think you're in the ocean. So maybe Johnny wasn't looking at a map when he wrote the lyrics.
He was looking over at Russia, brushing up on his foreign policy. I believe that. I believe that. What's the per capita of people who spend a night in jail in Nome?
I don't know. What's 1/1? Yeah. I was never very good at fractions.
I think you better have another sip of this.
This stuff is good. I got so confused.
You've been to Alaska?
I got around to watching this
to China.
Watching the royal wedding yesterday. Okay. Sort of against my best interests or my instincts.
But
your soulmate is a wonderful narration. She is being from Toronto. She's become an American citizen, I always say to her, you know, honey. My Canadian belle. Being American means you never having to say you're sorry again.
So how was the wedding? Are they still married?
But yeah, no, they still have money.
Are they still married?
Yeah, they said it wouldn't work out. As far as I know, they're still married.
24 hours
and the queen is still on the Canadian money, which I can't quite get.
She's the queen. Why shouldn't she be?
I did like the sermon by the African American Episcopal preacher, but I got very confused with this wedding because in my head it was going to be a coronation. And I recently watched like YouTube footage of like Queen Elizabeth's coronation,
right,
you know, from you know, post-war, whenever it was, like 1950 or whatever. And that is the weirdest shit imaginable because this looked like a wedding, you know, and they're sat all looking Elton John, right, and, you know, and George Clooney's wife with a ridiculous flying saucer of a hat. But there's no weird occult significance to it where they put the crown on and all of a sudden Cher and God are connected by some beam of light, kind of like, you know, like a bad Yes concert. And I totally missed that. It was just a fucking wedding.
That's an oxymoron, my friend.
I was really very disappointed that it was just such a prosaic wedding. You know, like everybody was shocked that someone sang a good song.
You know what? You're just, you know, everybody sour was shocked grapes. You weren't invited.
Oh, if no one's getting touched with the sword, no, I'm not interested.
You know, it's like
I decline.
Listen, you commoners. No, you see, that's the problem, that they refer to us as commoners. That's already drawing a line in the sand.
Yeah.
And okay, but don't say it like
don't
that.
Rub
it's
it in,
nasty,
right?
That's a nasty thing.
Well, they did leave that seat open for Elvis, right?
The Elvis seat. I do the same thing at Passover in my house.
Do you?
The Elvis seat? Yeah, of course.
Sure.
Just in case he comes to, you know.
I think the Windsors are Jewish.
I mean, yeah.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, forget the German part, but
it's weird. 2,000 years of, like, inbreeding and, you know. And
I say keep it going.
You know.
Let's see what happens.
I always like to visit the parts of, like, the Prado or the Met here in New York and just see, like, the rows and rows of pinheaded Borbonis, you know, and Habsburgs, you know.
The weak Habsburg chin.
Like, what could possibly go wrong?
So what's next, Mark? Where are we going next? We've been to Alaska. We've been to Atlantis, sort of, kind of.
I know what's next.
What is the final frontier?
That's right. Big party tomorrow night.
Tear.
One of the last great book parties.
He's doing a big
party.
At the
Half King tomorrow
night.
Now,
I got to tell you, I was so excited about your book party that I went last Monday.
No.
I did.
Oh, jeez.
I did. I was so anticipating it so greatly. You know, free drink, me, you know, forget it.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
But yeah, I went last Monday.
Oh, shit.
And how was it?
It was great.
It was much better than what I was expecting.
I mean, just straight up as reconnaissance. Beat's got some intel on the Half King for you.
Well, I'll see if I can submit your subway fare to Penguin. See if they'll reimburse you.
I thought it was Dutton.
Dutton is part of Penguin.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Dutton everything knows. Is part of everything now.
Nobody knows Dutton, so I say Penguin.
Oh, and everything, like, everything is part of everything now.
Yeah, it's true. There's only like three book publishers left.
And, you know, there are only like two radio stations, apart from NPR, which has ruined everything. You know,
no pizza radio? Is that
no right? Pizza radio.
Where's our pizza anyway?
Yeah, there's that. We'll get you some
Mark,
pizza.
Where's your pizza?
Because this is Heritage Radio Network.
We lured you here with free pizza.
You lured me here by saying this was on Jack FM. That's how you got me here.
You lured me here with this bottle of degreaser.
That Red Star by Joe. Thank you, Mitch.
I'm turning more and more.
I will say on NPR, they don't serve stiff drinks like they do here.
Yeah. Ask Terry Gross for a Bloody Mary and a piece of pizza to see what fucking happens.
Okay, one more sip of this. It's a beautiful day.
It's just those dulcet tones of those somnambulant dulcet tones of your average NPR jock. Oh my goodness, you know, it's like it's just no. There's, you know, they may have arts, but they have no seizures.
We did manage to digress. where are you off to?
Where am I? I'm probably headed for Africa next. I may do something on elephants.
Really? Okay. Don't.
I like elephants.
Elephant
I like elephants too, and not everybody does.
Africa's a big place.
Well, I mean,
hence the tension. Africa is even very.
If I was a small farmer, a native farmer, I probably wouldn't be into elephants. But
No. A lot of people don't like them. But the magazine that I used to write for sent me to Madagascar, to the worst place on earth.
Oh yeah, Madagascar.
And then they, like 6 months later, they're like, "Do you want to go back to Africa?" I was like, "I don't know." And they're like, "Well, just check it out." And I checked it out, and they sent me to like a $2,500 a night resort.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
Isn't that
the woman who I sat next to at dinner? I was like, wait a minute, you were profiled in Vanity Fair, weren't you?
Ooh, la la. Yeah.
So where in Africa are we going? It being a big place.
Botswana, I hope.
Probably back to Botswana. I'd like to go to Kenya, Uganda, and then South Sudan, which is a little
there you go.
Iffy.
Now you're talking Africa.
But I have been talking to some ex-Israeli commandos who said they can get me into South Sudan.
Well, dude, this is like quickly turning into an episode of 24 here.
Sergeant Fury.
This is what I do. This is what they pay me for.
Sergeant Adams and his howling commando.
What,
right?
What is your security clearance? Well, you wouldn't be able to tell me anyway.
No, you can't tell you.
I have to kill you.
All right. There you go. Good job, Matt. I'm ready for some pizza and
I'm
more
ready
beer.
For some pizza. What type of pizza?
This Baggio is oddly
Let's have some
thing.
More Baggio.
This stuff. Dude.
Yeah, Mark, have another sip.
I feel like I'm 15 again. I'm hearing Peter Zaremba's voice and I'm drinking bad hard liquor.
But a few more of this and Mark's secrets are going to spill.
That's right. That's what we're working on.
I just assume you work for the company. I'm just assuming that's what's happening here.
I can't talk about that. Although if I ever come back, I'll tell you about the time I was approached by the CIA because I wrote a book on Peru.
You know, I can't hear that now.
It's going to cost me two pizzas.
Huh? No, but it'll take more than 5 minutes.
I got to confess.
And we have another song.
I didn't get through that book. I took a left turn at Machu Picchu.
Big mistake.
It's always a great compliment when someone writes a book whose title is based on the title of your book, and that's what someone finally did.
Did you manage to have a hangover at high altitude?
Yes.
And how was it?
It was not good.
Yeah, I managed. Okay, on my first.
I needed a Bloody Mary with two Diamox.
I managed to earn one.
Remember my first night in the keto.
Yeah.
Which I didn't realize. I get out of the jet and it says, welcome to keto, elevation like 9,500 feet. Yeah. I said, you know, they make a big deal about other cities, and that's like one of the highest capitals in the world.
Yeah.
And I suffered that morning.
It's brutal. You know what happened to John Peel, right? John Peel got off the plane in Cusco and dropped dead. That's why there are no more Peel sessions. Oh, you thought maybe he got canceled? Yeah, he got canceled by Cusco.
Wow, Cusco.
I just thought life being a terminal condition and all that.
Yeah. Wow, it's a high altitude, man. Watch it.
Well, I remember the first time we were like in Denver and then like go camping.
Denver?
I mean, Denver's 5,000. I mean, you're 5,000 feet. You laugh. But then you get up to 8. Then you start camping and you start driving, man. It's 8,000, 9,000 feet.
Right, yeah.
You know, and disappointed that they're only selling 3.2 beer. You know, and the woman in the general store saying, you're going to be just fine, son.
Drink your two Coors and call me in the morning.
Yeah. And after you're done trying to take your pants off over your head, we'll talk about it. Now, that high altitude thing is no joke.
No, I
was wrapped around the tile floor, trying to absorb some coolness as I vomited and writhed in pain.
That's basically the story of your last 35 years.
Well, it happens frequently. Right. Although the oddest thing about it was when I recovered, but for the rest of my trip, I had no real sense of taste.
Really?
Yeah. So when we went to have
aesthetic taste?
No. I'm letting that go over the plate.
I went into the museum and I was like, all these paintings are equal in my eyes.
We went to have guinea pig and one of those
kui?
Kui. Yep. And it was like I was eating styrofoam.
That wasn't going to change whether you were at sea level or not.
Okay, I thought it was okay. So
kui
is
nasty. Yeah.
All right. Once again, it's our friend Mark Adams,
world's greatest travel writer. I stepped on that. I'm sorry. I am
totally going to quote that tomorrow when we talk to NPR and try to get
who's better,
Don Zarembo,
who has been called the world's greatest travel writer.
By
Don Zarembo.
On radio somewhere.
by Free Drink Pete.
Free Drink Pete, baby.
His book's The Tip of the Iceberg, My 3,000-Mile Journey.
That Chinese liquor's getting about
Alaska,
halfway
the great
done.
American Frontier. And don't forget, Sarah Palin, Don't Live Here Anymore.
Don't Live Here No More.
All right, I think we got one more song. As always, it's been the fastest half hour
on
the internet today. Please don't forget, today is episode number 240. That leaves 10 more, Pete.
Oh,
we're counting it down. This thing's going to... I'm putting the brakes on.
Talking about excitement, Sharky and the Count make an appearance next Saturday.
We are right. If my name's on the poster, we are.
Your name's on the poster.
Yeah. We're gonna be doing the Talking Heads quasi karaoke.
Believe it or not, we are bringing the psycho. Believe it or not, at the Bowery Electric Saturday night, we're doing a tune. Go there just to prove to yourself that this actually happened. we're doing a tribute to David Byrne. And
let's do Remain in Light. Let's do it right now.
No, let's do it.
Maybe a little Isaac to get ready for your African journey.
Okay, you can do it to that beat.
Right, one more pull off this half pint.
Come on, more Bai Xiao.
One more of this.
And then I need to lie down.
A little more Bai Xiao.
All right, give me one more of that.
One more pull.
This is...
Set up the tune. Quick, we gotta go.
Sweet Jesus.
There we go.
Wow, no wonder they had a cultural revolution in that country.
Oh my God.
What's this song about?
No fucking idea. And I've already forgotten how it began.
It's about Anthony Quinn.
It's about Anthony Quinn, Savage Innocence.
It is about Anthony.
Exactly.
Anthony Quinn.
Saw on ABC Afternoon After School, which I did see.
Cut down to an hour 12.
Which your dad did. Cut down to 20 minutes.
Nothing like the mighty Quinn. Everybody's building ships and boats. Some are building monuments and others jotting down notes like you. Everybody's in despair, every boy and girl. But when Quinn the Eskimo gets you, everybody gonna jump for joy.
Come on!
Come on without. Come on with it.
You ain't seen nothing like the mighty Quinn.
Now, I like to like the rest. I like my sugar sweet. But garden fumes and making haste ain't my cup of meat. Everybody's just standing around neath the trees, feeding pigeons on a limb. But when Queen the Eskimo gets here, the pigeon's gonna run to him.
Come on with him. You'll not see nothing like the mighty Queen.
A lampgate, a gunny do, I can't recite them all. Just tell me where it hurts, and I'll tell you who to call. Nobody can get no sleep, someone on everyone's toes. But when Queen the Eskimo gets here, everybody gonna want a doze.
Hey, come on without, come on within. Can't see nothing like the mighty Queen. Come on without, come on within.
One more time.
Come on without.
I'm seeing
some. Come on within. You ain't seen nothing like the mighty Quinn.
In Alaska.
Come on without. Come on within.
In the movies.
You ain't seen nothing like the mighty Quinn.
One more time.
Come on without. Come on within. You ain't seen nothing like the mighty Quinn. Come on without.
Hey!
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Heritage_Radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
Hey, it's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. Every week on our show, we talk about food and cooking and the meanings of food and cooking. We talk with the most interesting people in food about their techniques, their culture, and everything in between. Whether it's about how fried chicken took over the world or how Instagram changes the way people are actually eating. It's a food show where everyone is welcome. Come join us. You can listen to The Splendid Table wherever you get your podcasts.